Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the history of the Caribbeans. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for documenting the history of the Caribbean, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Anguilla, A Journey Through Time, Episode 1, a story that promises to detail the history of the first settlers to present day. So sit back and relax as we navigate you through this journey. Chapter 1, Setting the Stage. The Island Before Time. Beneath the endless expanse of azure skies, where the horizon meets the turquoise waters of the Caribbean, lies Anguilla, a small, unassuming island with a destiny shaped by the currents of history. Before the first human footprints marked its powdery white sands, Anguilla was a quiet haven, teeming with life. Its limestone cliffs bore witness to millennia of relentless winds and waves carving intricate patterns into its edges. Coral reefs, vibrant and alive, fringed the island, sheltering fish of every hue and providing sustenance for a future yet to unfold. Anguilla, with its low-lying terrain and sparse vegetation, seemed like a whisper compared to the louder, more imposing landscapes of its neighbors. Yet, there was something unmistakably magnetic about this island, a sense of quiet resilience etched into its very foundation, waiting for the first settlers to arrive. Arrival of the first people. Somewhere between 2000 BCE and 1000 BCE, the first settlers arrived on Anguilla's shores. They came not as conquerors, but as survivors. These were the Arawak people, a seafaring society driven by necessity and curiosity. Their dugout canoes, carved from massive tree trunks, carried them across miles of open sea from South America, guided only by the stars and the whispers of the wind. For the Arawaks, Anguilla was more than a destination, it was a promise of life. The island's abundant marine life and fertile soil offered the sustenance they needed to thrive. They named the island Maliohana, meaning arrow-shaped sea serpent, a testament to their deep spiritual connection with their surroundings. The Arawaks brought with them their culture, spirituality, and a way of life deeply rooted in harmony with nature. They carved intricate designs into rocks, known today as petroglyphs, which can still be found at Big Spring and other sacred sites. These carvings, depicting celestial patterns and spiritual symbols, were their way of preserving their connection to the divine forces they believed governed the land and sea. The Arawak way of life. The Arawaks were skilled farmers, cultivating cassava, sweet potatoes, and maize. They understood the rhythms of the land, planting and harvesting in harmony with the seasons. Fishing was a cornerstone of their existence, and their canoes often dotted the horizon as they ventured beyond the reefs in search of sustenance. Their villages, though modest, were a testament to their ingenuity. They built bohaios, circular homes made of thatch and wood, that stood resilient against the elements. These homes were arranged in communal circles, reflecting their deeply ingrained sense of community. At the center of each village was a communal gathering space, where elders shared wisdom, children played, and families celebrated life's milestones. The Arawak spiritual beliefs were interwoven with their daily lives. They worshipped Zimi gods, deities representing natural forces and ancestral spirits. Rituals were performed to honor these gods, seeking their blessings for bountiful harvests and safe journeys across the sea. It was a world where the natural and supernatural coexisted seamlessly. Anguilla's natural bounty. The Arawaks found a paradise in Anguilla's natural resources. The island's abundant marine life provided not just food, but also tools and ornaments. Conch shells were transformed into tools and ceremonial objects, while the vibrant feathers of local birds adorned their garments and headdresses. Yet, Anguilla was not without its challenges. The island's flat terrain meant limited freshwater sources, forcing the Arawaks to develop ingenious methods for collecting rainwater. They constructed clay cisterns to store water, ensuring their survival during the dry months. Conflict and resilience. The serenity of the Arawak way of life was eventually disrupted by the arrival of the Caribs, a warrior tribe known for their fierce raids. The Caribs, also hailing from South America, were skilled navigators and fighters. They sought to dominate the islands of the Caribbean, and Anguilla was no exception. What followed were cycles of conflict and adaptation. The Arawaks, though peaceful by nature, fought fiercely to defend their home. Their resilience in the face of Carib aggression became a defining feature of their legacy. Oral traditions passed down through generations speak of heroic battles and acts of bravery that ensured the survival of their culture, even as the tides of change began to sweep across the Caribbean. The island's spirit. By the time the first Europeans set foot on Anguilla's shores, the island had already been shaped by centuries of human resilience and adaptation. The Arawaks and Caribs left an indelible mark on the island, their stories etched into its limestone cliffs and whispering winds. Anguilla was more than just a piece of land. It was a living testament to the strength and spirit of its people. As the chapter draws to a close, the narrative shifts to the horizon, where European sails loom ominously. The arrival of these new settlers would bring both opportunity and devastation, setting the stage for the next chapter in Anguilla's history, a chapter that would see the island's identity reshaped in ways its first inhabitants could never have imagined. Chapter 2, The European Encounter. The distant sails. It began with faint shapes on the horizon, white, billowing clouds of canvas that moved unnaturally across the water, breaking the harmony of the turquoise sea. For generations, the Arawak and Carib peoples had gazed out at this expanse, reading its moods, and welcoming it as both provider and protector. But the arrival of these mysterious vessels signified a shift that no whispered legend or sacred ritual could have prepared them for. By the late 15th century, the age of exploration had reached its zenith. Spain, Portugal, and later England, France, and the Netherlands, fueled by ambition and the thirst for wealth, turned their attention to the New World. For these European powers, islands like Anguilla were tiny stepping stones in a vast ocean, a strategic prize in their quest for domination of the Americas and the riches they believed lay beyond. The first European eyes. Christopher Columbus, though often credited with discovering the Caribbean, never landed on Anguilla. However, his voyages laid the foundation for European interest in the region. The first known European sighting of Anguilla occurred in 1493 during Columbus's second voyage. The island, unassuming and largely barren from a European perspective, was overlooked in favor of larger, more resource-rich territories. Nevertheless, its existence was noted on maps, labeled with variations of its eventual name, which would later derive from its elongated, eel-like shape, Anguilla meaning eel in Spanish. The Spanish and Portuguese expeditions that followed sought to extract wealth and labor from the islands they encountered. Though Anguilla's sparse resources initially spared it from heavy exploitation, it was not immune to the waves of violence and disease that swept through the Caribbean in the wake of European contact. The silent catastrophe. For the indigenous peoples of the Caribbean, the arrival of Europeans marked the beginning of an era of unimaginable suffering. The Arawaks, who had lived in harmony with the land for centuries, were among the first to feel the devastating impact of foreign diseases. Smallpox, measles, and influenza swept through their communities, killing indiscriminately and weakening their ability to resist the encroaching forces. On Anguilla, the sparse population meant that even minor outbreaks could have catastrophic effects. Oral histories suggest that entire villages were wiped out within a few years of contact, leaving the island eerily quiet and its surviving inhabitants scattered. The spiritual heart of the island, the sacred petroglyphs, the communal gathering spaces, the ritual sites, stood as silent witnesses to this tragedy. The dawn of colonization. By the early 17th century, European interest in Anguilla began to grow. Its location, though seemingly insignificant, offered a strategic advantage in the Caribbean. The English, keen to expand their foothold in the region, began to take an interest in the island. In 1650, a group of English settlers from St. Kitts established the first permanent European settlement on Anguilla. These settlers, largely farmers and tradesmen, faced immense challenges. Anguilla's arid soil and limited freshwater made large-scale agriculture nearly impossible. Unlike the fertile plantations of Barbados or Jamaica, Anguilla demanded ingenuity and resilience from its inhabitants. Early accounts describe settlers struggling to grow crops like tobacco and corn while relying heavily on fishing and trade with neighboring islands to survive. Conflict and competition. Anguilla's strategic position made it a point of contention among European powers. The French, who had also established colonies in the region, viewed the English settlement as a threat. Throughout the late 17th century, Anguilla became a battleground for European rivalries. The settlers, despite their small numbers and limited resources, defended their home with remarkable tenacity. In 1666, during the Second Anglo-Dutch War, French forces invaded Anguilla, burning the fledgling settlement to the ground. Though the English eventually reclaimed the island, the scars of this conflict lingered. For the settlers, it was a harsh reminder of their vulnerability in the face of larger, more powerful forces. The role of enslavement. As European colonies in the Caribbean grew, so too did the demand for labor. The transatlantic slave trade, already in full swing by the 17th century, brought enslaved Africans to Anguilla to work on small plantations. Unlike the massive sugar estates of other islands, Anguilla's plantations were modest in scale, focused primarily on subsistence farming and limited exports. For the enslaved, life on Anguilla was marked by relentless hardship. The arid conditions and limited resources meant that even basic sustenance was a struggle. Yet, amidst this suffering, the seeds of cultural resilience began to take root. African traditions, brought across the Atlantic in the hearts and minds of the enslaved, mingled with European and indigenous influences to form the foundation of Anguilla's unique cultural identity. The people of the land and sea. By the turn of the 18th century, Anguilla had become a patchwork of identities. The indigenous legacy, though diminished, lingered in the island's landscapes and oral traditions. The European settlers, hardened by decades of struggle, had developed a fierce sense of independence. And the enslaved Africans, despite their oppression, carried forward a spirit of resistance and hope. This blend of cultures, shaped by adversity and survival, would define Anguilla's identity for centuries to come. The island's people, bound together by the land and sea, began to forge a collective spirit, a spirit that would sustain them through the trials of colonization, rebellion, and eventual autonomy, foreshadowing the future. As this chapter closes, the stage is set for the next phase of Anguilla's history. The island, now a small but vital player in the Caribbean, would face new challenges in the form of economic struggles, social upheaval, and the ongoing fight for identity. Yet, even in the face of these trials, the people of Anguilla would continue to embody the resilience and resourcefulness that had defined their ancestors. Chapter 3: Settlement and Colonial Struggles. The First Settlements. By the mid-17th century, Anguilla's identity as a European outpost began to solidify. The first settlers, English farmers and tradesmen, arrived in 1650 from St. Kitts. Their decision to claim Anguilla was born out of necessity rather than choice. St. Kitts, the more prosperous neighboring island, had grown overcrowded, and disputes among settlers made Anguilla a logical escape. Yet, Anguilla was not a land of abundance waiting to be tamed. It was harsh, arid, and unyielding. The settlers found themselves battling the island's lack of freshwater sources, poor soil quality, and a scarcity of natural resources. Crops such as tobacco and cotton were planted, but the yields were meager compared to other Caribbean colonies. The settlers relied on fishing, hunting, and trading with other islands to survive. Houses were modest structures made of wood and thatch, offering little protection from hurricanes and tropical storms that periodically ravaged the island. Communities were small and tightly knit, bound together by shared hardship and the constant threat of invasion. The introduction of slavery. As Anguilla's settler population grew, so did its reliance on enslaved African labor. The small plantations that emerged in the 17th century primarily cultivated cotton and tobacco, crops that required significant manpower. While Anguilla's plantation economy was never as expansive as that of Barbados or Jamaica, its development marked a turning point in the island's history. Enslaved Africans brought to Anguilla faced unimaginable hardships. The arid conditions and limited resources made survival a daily struggle. They were forced to work long hours under brutal conditions, often with inadequate food and shelter. Yet, even amidst this suffering, they forged a resilient cultural identity. African traditions, languages, and beliefs mingled with European influences, laying the foundation for Anguilla's unique culture. This era also saw the beginnings of resistance. Small acts of defiance, from work slowdowns to escape attempts, became common. Oral histories speak of enslaved individuals who fled to the island's remote hills and caves, seeking freedom in the shadows of Anguilla's rugged landscape. The struggle for survival. Life on Anguilla in the 17th and 18th centuries was defined by scarcity. Unlike the fertile lands of neighboring islands, Anguilla's soil yielded limited crops. Freshwater was so scarce that rainwater collection became essential for survival. The settlers' ability to adapt to these harsh conditions was a testament to their ingenuity and determination. Fishing and trading became vital components of the island's economy. Anguillian fishermen, skilled in navigating the island's surrounding reefs, supplied food not only for their families, but also for trade with other colonies. Barter systems flourished, with settlers exchanging fish, salt, and cotton for tools, clothing, and other necessities. Despite these efforts, famine was a constant threat. Hurricanes and droughts periodically devastated crops and depleted resources. In such times, the community relied on its collective strength, sharing what little they had to ensure survival. Regional conflicts and their impact. Anguilla's position in the Caribbean made it a target in the power struggles between European empires. Throughout the 17th and 18th centuries, the island found itself caught in the crossfire of wars between England, France, and the Netherlands. In 1666, during the Second Anglo-Dutch War, French forces invaded Anguilla, destroying settlements and driving many settlers into hiding. The French occupation was short-lived, but the scars it left on the island were profound. The settlers rebuilt, but the memory of the invasion lingered, fueling a sense of vulnerability and the need for self-reliance. Later conflicts, such as the War of Spanish Succession, 1701 to 1714, and the Seven Years' War, 1756 to 1763, further disrupted life on Anguilla. The island's small population and limited resources made it a low priority for the English crown, leaving its settlers to defend themselves against raids and invasions with little external support. The emergence of a distinct identity. By the late 18th century, Anguilla's settlers had developed a distinct identity shaped by their unique circumstances. They were a people of resilience and resourcefulness, accustomed to surviving in the face of adversity. This spirit was reflected in their governance, with local leaders emerging to address the community's needs in the absence of significant support from England. The settlers' relationship with the enslaved population was complex. While the plantation economy created a clear hierarchy, the shared struggle for survival blurred these divisions in some instances. Enslaved Africans and European settlers often worked side by side during times of crisis, forging connections that would influence Anguilla's social fabric in the years to come. The role of women in early Anguilla. Women played a critical role in Anguilla's early history, both among the settlers and the enslaved population. Settler women, often left to manage households and farms while men engaged in trade or fishing, became the backbone of the island's agricultural economy. Their resilience and adaptability were vital to their family's survival. Among the enslaved population, women were both laborers and cultural custodians. They preserved African traditions through storytelling, music, and dance, passing them down to future generations. Their strength and resourcefulness became symbols of resistance and hope in the face of oppression. Religious and spiritual life. Religion played a central role in the lives of Anguilla's settlers and enslaved Africans. For the settlers, Christianity provided a sense of order and purpose in an otherwise chaotic existence. Churches, often modest wooden structures, became centers of community life, hosting not only religious services, but also meetings and social gatherings. For the enslaved population, religion was both a source of solace and a form of resistance. While many adopted Christianity, they often blended it with African spiritual practices, creating unique traditions that reflected their dual heritage. These practices served as a reminder of their identity and a quiet act of defiance against the dehumanizing system of slavery. Foreshadowing rebellion. As the 18th century drew to a close, tensions on Anguilla began to rise. The hardships of colonial life, coupled with the growing resistance of the enslaved population, set the stage for future conflicts. The island settlers, though fiercely independent, began to question their relationship with the English crown, while the enslaved Africans sought freedom and justice. This chapter closes with a sense of foreboding, as Anguilla stands on the brink of change. The seeds of rebellion, both social and political, have been sown, setting the stage for the dramatic events of the 19th century. Chapter 4, Rebellion and Resistance. The Winds of Change. The dawn of the late 18th century brought an air of unease to the Caribbean. Across the region, whispers of rebellion stirred among the enslaved, fueled by the radical ideas of liberty and equality spreading from Europe and the Americas. The American Revolution had demonstrated the possibility of self-rule, and the French Revolution ignited cries for freedom that reverberated across the Atlantic. These transformative events did not pass unnoticed in the small and isolated communities of Anguilla. For Anguilla, the late 18th century was a period of heightened tension. The island's plantation economy was modest compared to larger colonies, but the disparities between the enslaved and the settler classes were no less severe. The enslaved population, driven by the hope of freedom, began to resist more openly, while the settlers faced increasing economic hardship, political neglect from Britain, and growing fear of rebellion. Acts of resistance. For the enslaved on Anguilla, resistance was a daily act of courage. Some resisted through subtle means, slowing their work, sabotaging tools, or practicing their cultural traditions in defiance of the oppressive system. Others took bolder steps, including escape attempts and even open rebellion. One of the most notable events in this period was the rumored Great Escape of Crocus Hill. Oral histories recount how a group of enslaved men and women planned an elaborate escape, using Anguilla's rugged terrain and hidden caves as their refuge. Though details remain shrouded in mystery, this tale lives on as a symbol of resistance and the relentless pursuit of freedom. Anguilla's enslaved population also found ways to challenge their oppressors by forming secret networks of communication with enslaved peoples on neighboring islands. Through these networks, they shared knowledge, resources, and ideas, planting the seeds for collective resistance across the Caribbean. The role of Maroon communities. Anguilla's geography, with its rocky hills and hidden coves, provided an ideal refuge for escaped slaves, known as Maroons. These individuals and small groups fled the plantations and established clandestine communities in remote areas of the island. Life as a Maroon was fraught with danger, as colonial authorities hunted them relentlessly. Still, these communities thrived in secrecy, sustaining themselves through fishing, farming, and occasional raids on settlements. The Maroons of Anguilla became a symbol of defiance against the colonial system. Their existence was a constant reminder to the settlers that control was never absolute, and freedom was a flame that could not be extinguished. The abolition movement. As resistance simmered on Anguilla, the global abolition movement gained momentum. By the early 19th century, Britain had begun to question the morality and sustainability of slavery. Activists like William Wilberforce and Olotta Equiano brought the horrors of the transatlantic slave trade to the forefront of public consciousness, leading to the passage of the Abolition of the Slave Trade Act in 1807. For the enslaved on Anguilla, this was a moment of cautious hope. While the trade in human lives was outlawed, slavery itself persisted. The conditions on the island remained harsh, and the path to freedom was still fraught with uncertainty. The eventual abolition of slavery in the British Empire in 1834 was a turning point. Under the Emancipation Act, enslaved people were freed but required to work as apprentices for their former masters for several years. This system was met with resistance across the Caribbean, including Anguilla, where newly freed individuals demanded true liberty and the opportunity to own land. Post-emancipation struggles. Emancipation brought newfound freedom to Anguilla's formerly enslaved population, but it also introduced new challenges. The island's limited resources and arid conditions made economic independence difficult to achieve. Many freed men and women sought to purchase land, but opportunities were scarce. The planter class, though weakened, still held significant power, and tensions between the two groups often flared. Despite these challenges, the freed population showed remarkable resilience. They built communities, established schools, and preserved their cultural traditions. Their spirit of unity and self-determination laid the foundation for Anguilla's evolving identity. The struggles of the settlers. While the enslaved population grappled with the realities of freedom, Anguilla's European settlers faced struggles of their own. The island's economy, already fragile, was further weakened by the abolition of slavery. Many planters abandoned their estates, leaving behind a landscape dotted with ruins, a testament to the collapse of the plantation system. Those who remained had to adapt to a new reality. Fishing and subsistence farming became the primary means of survival, and trade with neighboring islands became even more vital. The settlers, like the freed population, were shaped by Anguilla's harsh conditions, fostering a spirit of self-reliance and ingenuity. Unity in adversity. The challenges of the post-emancipation period brought Anguillians together in unexpected ways. Freed men and women worked alongside settlers to rebuild the island's economy and community. While divisions remained, the shared hardships of life on Anguilla created bonds that transcended class and race. This period also saw the rise of local leaders who advocated for the rights and welfare of Anguilla's people. These leaders, often drawn from the ranks of both the freed population and the settlers, became voices of unity and progress, setting the stage for the island's future struggles for autonomy. Foreshadowing autonomy. As the 19th century progressed, Anguilla's people began to question their place within the British Empire. The neglect and indifference of colonial authorities, coupled with the island's economic struggles, fueled a growing desire for self-determination. The seeds of rebellion planted during the era of slavery and resistance would continue to grow, ultimately culminating in Anguilla's fight for autonomy in the 20th century. Closing reflection. This chapter highlights the resilience of Anguilla's people during one of the most tumultuous periods in its history. From the bravery of the enslaved to the ingenuity of the settlers, the story of rebellion and resistance is one of survival, unity, and hope. As we move into the next chapter, the focus will shift to the challenges and triumphs of the 20th century, as Anguilla's people continue their journey toward freedom and identity.